I have got a big question for you, and it's the question that you had for Dorothy.
We've had the Eurovision movie, which is mainly set in Iceland, but I was wondering if there was a movie about you, Dorothy, who would play you? Who would you want to play you?
I would like to play myself.
Yes.
Good.
So that's Dorothy. Unsure, really. You bamboozled him with that question.
I thought he would answer that way. I was hoping he might think of somebody, but I thought if he couldn't, he would probably just say, well, me.
I think Dorothy would be brilliant at playing him in a film. I can't think of anybody else who would play. So that's my question to you. Who would play you in a film?
Who would play me in a film? Oh, goodness. Well, let me have a quick think about that one. What about you? Excuse me, what? Goodness me, where's that come from? What on earth is that? What? Sorry. And also, what a dated reference.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Can I tell you, whilst I quickly, you know who someone said I look like once? And I was like, well, this is a huge compliment, but you're totally wrong. Alexa Chung.
Oh, no.
No, I know. I agree completely. I know.
All right, Jeanette. Welcome to Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Sorry, but who's going to play you then? Alan Partridge. Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge.
Steve Coogan doing his role as Alan Partridge as me.
Yeah.
You're right. That would be quite accurate.
Yeah,
you
go.
Unfortunately.
Yes, welcome to Nullpois. This is, of course, a Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Laura, and Martin over there. We are from the UK. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we're trying to learn. And lots of exciting news on this episode, isn't there?
Yeah, lots of news. We have an actual Eurovision song to bring you and other news as well. I just thought we'd start because we kind of sprung the Dorothy episode on you last week with absolutely no warning whatsoever. We probably could have done a little better there, but it was quite a nice surprise. We went to the Dorothy gig. If you haven't listened to that episode, we went to the Dorothy gig in the O2 Forum in Kentish Town in London, and we got to speak to him as well, which we didn't necessarily know we were going to do. It was a bit kind of 50-50, and it was brilliant that we managed to. And I thought, well, we had a fantastic time, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Such a nice to meet like-minded, fans. That was really nice. Obviously, great to meet Dorothy. And then to see his gig as well. It was a brilliant, brilliant evening.
And what did you think about some of the stuff that he had to say? Because I think some of it was what I expected and what we've maybe heard from him previously. But then I think he said some things that I wasn't quite expecting. Certainly the level of hate he received.
Yes.
As part of being involved in the Eurovision Song Contest. And that was really sad because I think you and I, certainly I do, whenever I think about Eurovision fans, I think, oh, well, they're just all lovely, aren't they? And everybody's nice. But Dorothy's saying, well, actually, yes, the majority of them are, but there's a very vocal minority who seem to think if you're not the song that they like, they're just going to sort of throw a whole load of hate on you.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'll be honest, it didn't surprise me, him saying that, because I think it's just the way the internet is, unfortunately, that there will always be some people who are very vocal and don't seem to understand that these are real people that they're messaging, not just, artists that, have no feelings. It did surprise me that he got some of that hate, though, because I just thought, Dorothy, really? Like, how can you, I can understand if there's, none of it is deserved, but sometimes, people accidentally say things, but he is just so likable and funny and just doesn't care about any of that stuff, really, that I was surprised that he, Anza Ogagnemagnev, did get any of that. Also surprised just, at how much he was genuinely loved Eurovision as well.
Yeah, that's true, actually. He was a real proper fan, and I hadn't quite been ready for that. I was expecting that, I like it because I was in it sort of thing.
Yeah.
But no, he's always loved it, and he was really wanting to be a part of it, and he'd really done his research as well, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. He's a very clever guy. But, if you want to listen back to any of that, obviously, check us out. It's just the previous episode. It's just called Davy Freya, so it's quite easy to find. And take a listen, because, you know, not only, as we said, we speak to Davy, but we also speak to his fans as well, and, you know, have a chat with people that really love him. So it was really great.
In the meantime, though, there is Eurovision news to bring you, and very, very soon going to be bringing you the first Eurovision entry to this, or to next year's, excuse me, competition to be bringing you. But before that, I want to talk about Junior Eurovision, which is very soon, 19th of December. And we haven't really talked a huge amount about it up till now, but as we get closer to it, we want to focus in on it just a little bit more. And at the moment, we're, you know, it's a little bit kind of things are starting to get a little bit worrying because of our old friend coronavirus.
And I do feel sorry a bit for Junior Eurovision, because they are at a sort of bad time of year for this kind of thing, because I think winter, everyone knows, is always going to be worse than summer for coronavirus. And they are basically a little bit on high alert. It is going to be in France, the Junior Eurovision contest. They've announced now basically that there's going to be no audience for the dress rehearsals because of this new variant, because of concerns about it. So that means only the grand final, as you said, on December the 19th, will have an audience, and they'll need to follow, obviously, all the safety measures in force around France at that time, so wearing masks, social distancing. The dress rehearsal on December 18th, though, anyone who bought tickets for that can request a refund, because there ain't going to be an audience for it.
No, there isn't. Only, as we record today, 14 days until the show. And can you just imagine if you were one of the children who are taking part in this, how you must be feeling right now ahead of the biggest thing you will ever have done in your life?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And you know, the thing is, they're all, we say children, but really, you know, the way they perform and the songs, they're, you know, they are basically adults. They've got an amazing singing voices. And you know, in the coming episodes, in the coming weeks, we will do a little more of a look into the artists and the songs, because we've got obviously the songs that they've released now, and we'll have a little dive into some of our favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. A few countries taking part, I'll very quickly read them out.
Yeah.
Ukraine, Spain, Serbia, Russia, Portugal, Poland, North Macedonia, Netherlands, Malta, Kazakhstan, Italy, Ireland, Germany, Georgia, France, Albania, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Bulgaria. And Bulgaria, we move to for some more exciting news here on Nul Poir.
Yes, as Martin says, we have the first Eurovision song for Eurovision 2022, and it's by Bulgaria. And their entry, Intelligent Music Projects, and the song they've released is called Intention.
This is loud, it is rocky. If you can imagine, we've got a sort of Dave Grohl type lookalike guy at the front. We've got some very old men in the background doing all the music. I like it. I like it. They don't actually seem to say the name of the song at any point, as far as I can say. They just seem to be talking a lot about safety zones.
Yes, there's a lot of things about safety zones. I thought this one was quite catchy. I can still remember the verse part of it pretty well. I would say the music video, it shows a very boring video game where, like, a woman is just walking and someone else is slowly walking behind her for some time. I think they do, at the end, they write the word intention at the end, saying something about as long as you've got the best intention. I think that's kind of where they're coming from. But yeah, I what I will say is it's fairly catchy. I know that the band caught a bit of heat because they're a rock band, because some people were saying on social media, oh, what a surprise, Måneskin, a rock band win, and now look who's coming, it's a rock band, and sort of saying that, oh, you know, how typical that the winners are a rock band and now we've got another rock band entering. But it's like, but you know, that always happens. I don't think it's necessarily just because Måneskin win, it's because more rock is coming into Eurovision in general.
Yeah, and rock has done well in the past and has proved by it winning last year. Mm. I don't think there's anything wrong with going with a rock song. I think it will be interesting to see.
Well, I think what they're saying is they're just doing it because it won.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that will be what's interesting to see. I think, okay, a few, fine. If we start seeing, you know, the majority suddenly going, I think we've just had a good idea, it's to do a rock song, then you do start to wonder, are you only doing this because Måneskin won?
But also, I would say they're very different style to Måneskin.
Yeah, very different.
They couldn't be any different. So it's not, I would say it's like they've brought their own thing to it. It's not like if they were all sort of like half naked and, you know, like playing a much different style of rock, then you might be like, okay, we can see what's going on here. But they're not, they brought their own style to it. What else was I going to say? One thing I think, you know, is difficult when you are a rock band is to bring some kind of choreography and movement to the stage, because, you know, you've got your instruments, you're kind of like stuck there playing with the band. So that'd be interesting to see what kind of style they bring to the actual live performance. But what will be exciting is they've got that little breakdown, the little guitar lick where he really goes for it. And I think that could be a really exciting part of the song. So not a bad song, I think. I quite liked it. I'm not sure it'll do amazingly well, but it's fun, you know, and I think if they add a couple of bits to it, it could do okay.
Yeah, definitely could. I like it. Maybe not a winner, but I say that I think about every single song we ever hear, because it takes a little time to grow on me, but I certainly enjoyed it. There you go. Bulgaria, the first country to put their entry forward for Eurovision 2022. Someone who wants to put their hat in the ring, and I imagine all I'm hearing in my head right as I tell you this news is Liz from our sister podcast Douzebois, who is Australian and who absolutely couldn't stand Montaigne's entry. Sorry, that's, what is it, Monty?
Oh, it's Martin Starkey.
What do you want, Monty?
Hi.
Monty just deciding he wants to get involved in the podcast by making some noise. What do you want? What do you want?
What do you think about Montaigne, Monty?
You can't have any food. Sorry. Yes, Monty. Go and lie down now.
He probably thought you were saying Monty, not Montaigne.
That's a good point, actually. Yes.
Maybe you can't say, don't say the M word.
No. Anyway, this Australian singer, Liz, absolutely couldn't stand her sort of new entry, the 2021 entry. And I saw this from her online the other day. For my year Wrapped, because you know they've been doing like Spotify Unwrapped, haven't they?
And who you've been
listening to the most. For my year Wrapped, I would like to put it out to the universe that I'd love to attend Eurovision 2022. Por favor. Unlikely, Montaigne, I'd say.
Yeah, don't think so, Montaigne. I mean, it's interesting. She has a Twitch channel, actually, and I have watched her on that, where she, you know, either plays games, but she also, like, does some music production on there. And she's a very likeable person. So, you know, I don't think she'll be given another chance, and certainly not if Liz has anything to do with it. But, you know, fair enough. I can't blame her for wanting to take part in it again. And I wouldn't be surprised if, in the next few years, at some point, she does at least try and compete again, because, you know, she didn't really have the proper chance. So I can totally understand why she would want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wonder whether there's an element of the Australian singer who feels like she's been kind of hard done by the whole experience.
Oh, I would
experience.
Say so, yeah. I think so, definitely. And she has a little bit. It's not just because of Corona, but just because, obviously, not making it to the finals. You know, yeah, I totally understand why she'd want to. Did you do Spotify Wrapped, by the way?
No, I
thought you wouldn't.
Don't you actually have to pay for it in order to be able to do it?
I've no idea, but I mean, for the subscription to Spotify?
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you could get it if it's free. But no. If you don't, then you haven't got it. Well, then probably.
I did notice a lot of Eurovision people saying that it was almost ever so slightly embarrassing when they went, "Oh yeah, all of my top artists and genres are Eurovision. I maybe need to reassess things." Not at all.
No,
you
never.
Should be proud about that. Absolutely proud about that. Okay, let us move on. Your correspondence to come in a moment, but first, Cress, what is the time, please?
Well, I believe it's trivia time.
Oh my goodness me, it's the bit of the podcast where either me or Cress gives you a bit of information, a fact, if you will, about the Eurovision Song Contest. And this time it's Cressy. What you got?
Yeah, well, I've kind of got a fact about Eurovision's to come, really. And it's because we didn't really say too much about the actual band of our first Eurovision music entry, Intelligent Music Project. And if you just hear the name, you kind of think, well, that sounds like a load of nonsense. It sounds like a typical Eurovision name. It's just like, yeah, you know, some random words thrown together. But there is kind of a reason behind it, because basically Intelligent Music is this Bulgarian production company. And so this is a project of Intelligent Music. And the idea is, it's not just like some random old Ben, like you were saying, Martin. It's a super band, and they have different guitarists come in and play. So they actually have had people from some quite large and recognisable bands. They've had people from Toto, they've had people from Styx, they've had people from Black Sabbath, not Ozzy Osbourne, I will say. You know, so they've had people, and they've had people who played with like Phil Collins, Michael Jackson. So they've had sort of big names. Ronnie Romero, who's like the front man, was in Rainbow, was in Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, or Blackmore's Rainbow, so a British rock supergroup. And so they've had these quite sort of big.
So
they're a bit like
the Traveling Wilburys, then, aren't they?
Yes, I guess if that's how you want to put it, yes.
The Bulgarian Traveling Wilburys.
Yes,
I
think that's how we will refer to them now. So I'm really glad I brought that up. But there you go. They're not just some random guys. They've had six albums before. So that's because I was thinking, what is this? Why are they called Intelligent Music Project? What a strange idea. And that's the thought process behind it. It is a production company that's made up by this one guy, Milen Vabrevsky, who's like a composer.
I definitely said
that wrong. Yeah. And there you go. So they're all kind of interchangeable.
Very nice. And thank you for that addition, Cress, of
Trivia Time.
I just thought I'd check in with you, by the way, before we get to correspondence on how, because when I left Cress's last week, we did a trip to a well-known Swedish furniture store where we lived like Europeans for a little while. How is all the furniture that you bought?
It's good. I put up the coffee table.
Oh, well
done. Coffee table's up. Took me a little while, that, actually. It was quite a pain, but it's all up and it's good. It looks good. And yeah, that's pretty much it. The plant is up.
Nice.
So yeah, thank you for that, and obviously enjoyed the meatballs. I thought that was great.
The meatballs were the best bit of it. They were fantastic.
Yeah, the meatballs were fantastic, and the dime chocolate cake as well.
Yeah, Sweden. Just a message to Sweden here: if you could just put in a really good entry this year, because wouldn't say no to going to Sweden.
We'd love to go
back there. That'd be lovely. Right, to your correspondence, and thank you very much for getting in touch. It's always lovely to hear from you on whatever you have to say, whether it's just to poke fun at me and Cress, which isn't too difficult. If you could think of maybe someone, maybe Jeanette Cranky, who could play Laura Cress in a film.
With this reference, like, literally no one who listens, if anyone listens, actually even gets that incredibly dated reference, please get in touch.
Fan dabby dozy. Right, and what have people been saying?
Well, lots of people are obviously getting in touch with us about us speaking to Darthy. So thanks for everyone who got in touch with us about that. Just a couple of things. Thank you to, I think, Raf Mike or Rap H Mike, I don't know how you want me to say that, who just commented on our Instagram, which is Null Poir Podcast. How cool, awesome work, you guys. So thank you so much for that, for letting us know that you loved the interview. Thank you very much as well to basically Meryl Streep, who said fabulous, can't wait to hear. Thank you so much for that. Lots of people basically just really liking the interview with Darthy. We had a couple of people from Darthy's Discord as well, because I don't know if you know, there's a whole Discord dedicated to Darthy.
Well, I didn't know, but I do know now because we met one of the moderators, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We did indeed. And we spoke to them on the podcast on the episode. They said a couple of them got in touch afterwards saying, thank you for talking to us. Thank you for listening to us. And it was nice to meet you. So thank you guys for that. And they were really lovely, weren't they?
Oh, they were. They were lovely. And there was a guy there who had never been to a gig before, before. And then suddenly he, you know, that was his first one. And he was absolutely loving it. And he genuinely, at the end, he was genuinely speechless about such a brilliant time. It was lovely to meet him.
What a great gig. I'll just give you all the details. Get in touch with us if you like the episode or if you like this one. Nolpois Podcast is the Instagram as well. If you want to catch us on Twitter, we are at Pois Null. And also, if you want to send us an email about anything we mentioned, let us know your thoughts now on the very first Eurovision entry for 2022. What do you think about Intention? Let us know on email, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you like what we're doing, give us a subscribe, give us a like, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah, do it. Or else. Thank you very much for listening to this week's edition, and we'll see you again very soon on another edition of
Nolpois.
Come on, Monty. I think it's time you went out now. Come on.
Oh, little Monty.
Monty boy.
Good boy. Oh.